Good morning, SP. Let's bow our head and pray. Lord God, we thank you for today that you have given us a new day, new start, and that we could hear your word and worship you. I ask that you to anoint me with your spirit so that I may share the truth and draw people closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So last week I got to Colossians chapter 2 verse 16 to 19 where Paul talked about how to handle some dangers or traps related to legalism, ritualism and mysticism that the church, that the Colossian church experienced on their faith journey, which could derail their spiritual lives. Today, we'll complete this chapter, chapter 2, and cover verse 20 to 23. But to remind you of the background, we'll start reading from verse 16 and then all the way to verse 23. So please turn to Colossians chapter 2, verse 16. Therefore, no one is to act as your judge in regard to food and drink, or in respect to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath day, things which are only a shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Take care that no one keeps defrauding you of your prize by delighting in humility and the worship of the angels, taking his stand on visions he has seen, inflated without cause by his fleshly mind, and not holding firmly to the head, from whom the entire body, being supplied and held together by the joints and ligaments, grows with a growth which is from God. Verse 20 reads, if you have died with Christ to the elementary principles of the world, why, as if you were living in the world, do you submit yourself to decrees such as do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, which all refer to things destined to perish with use in accordance with the commandments and teachings of men. These are matters which do have the appearance of wisdom in self-made religion and humility and severe treatment of the body, but are of no value against indulgence. The key message of this passage, verse 20 to 23, is about not submitting to legalistic religious practice as substitute for the truth. We can't earn God's favor through legalistic religious practice. This is a trap believers often fall into as Christians now as well as back in the days of Apostle Paul. What I mean by that is we may try to live in holiness by creating systems characterized by restrictions and separation from temptations. In doing so, we put ourselves back on the yoke of slavery, even after we have been free in Christ. So let's look at this passage verse by verse. Verse 20, I read again. If you have died with Christ to the elementary principle of the world, why, as if you were living in the world, do you submit yourself to decrees as such as? What did Paul mean when he said the believer has died with Christ? Given that if you first back, verse 13, he also said we were dead in our transgressions and he made you alive together with Christ. If we were dead, how could we die again? What is Paul talking about? So, first of all, being dead in our transgressions is our spiritual state of being without Jesus. A physical death is essentially separation of our soul from our body, and spiritual death is about separation of our soul from God. Because we are born in sin, We are separated from God from birth. Being made alive in Christ is having our soul regenerated to be able to commune with God on the basis of Christ's death for our sin. Christ's death free us from bondage to the law and to sin, so that they are no longer a master. We are under grace and alive to God in Christ. So having died with Christ on the cross, we also die to the elementary principle of the world, that is, die to all man-made rules of the world about worship and fundamental religious practice as well. So we can look at it this way. When we train children, we often first train their behavior and then later help them to understand. This is particularly true if the children are young. We train the behavior first and help them to understand later. We learn how to do things before we learn why we do them. But if we never learn the why and then act accordingly in understanding, we remain as spiritual children doing things out of rote learning and remain in ignorance. If this happens, we never grow in maturity. But if we have an understanding and then do it, instead of simply rote learning and following a ritual, even though we may still do the same thing, but it will be for different reasons. And that key difference in motivation is crucial as it reflects the heart. And God looks at our heart. In early verses, Paul mentioned that some of the praxis from Judaism, such as observance of particular days, dietary requirements, or certain ascetic practices, such as fastings, are practices believers need to be careful about. It's not that these things are wrong in themselves, but they were being promoted as the substance of Judaism when they were actually only the shadow. These things teach us basic behavior and that we need a savior. We can't become righteous before God by our own works. So Paul was saying it is as if they had forgotten who Jesus is and what he had done for them. They were paying attention to the false teachers and submitting themselves to their decrees. The Colossian believers were demonstrating an inconsistency between their belief in the gospel of Jesus and how they were trying to live their lives. Instead of living in the power of the Holy Spirit and bearing fruit, they were returning to living according to their own fleshly power, according to the wisdom of man. This wasn't something that was forced on them, but something they were practicing by their own choice. That is the reason Paul was admonishing them, and they were foolish to do that. Paul pointed out to them so that they would forsake the false teachers and walk closely with Christ again. The next verse, verse 21, Paul gave three examples of the decrees they were submitting to. And Paul gave the prohibition. So verse 21 reads, "Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch." For "do not taste," we know that it's related to the food. But for the other two prohibitions, we can't be sure what the context Paul was referring to. But generally speaking, these prohibitions probably relate to the Gnostic heretics saying that certain food is sinful and hence prohibit them. But we already know from Mark chapter 7, verse 18 to 19, that all food is cleaned. And those verses read, And he said to them, "Are you so lacking in understanding also? Do you not understand that whatever goes into the man from outside cannot defile them? Because it does not go into his heart, but into his stomach and is eliminated. Thus he declared all foods clean." Of course, Paul isn't saying that it's okay to put harmful drugs or excessive amounts of alcohols or sugar into our bodies. He was saying that submitting to man-made rules about food doesn't help to gain your standing with God. Holiness comes from the Holy Spirit moving within the believer, not by outward conformity to a list of regulations. Verse 22 reads, "Which all refer to things destined to perish with use, in accordance with the commandments and teaching of men." The source of these decrees and commandments are made up by religious man, not from God. It cannot please God. And in the next verse, he also talks about self-made religion, or perhaps we can consider it as man-made worship. So what could it mean in some modern days examples of commandments of man as man-made worship could be things like worship service must be on a Sunday morning, though the early churches met in the evenings, or perhaps church service must be an hour long, even though in early church they met for many hours. We must have Sunday school, but the scripture didn't actually mention about it. So these things I've mentioned may not be wrong. They may have some temporary benefits if followed. They are certain customs formed based on culture. It doesn't have to be adhered to, as they are not commandments in the Bible. These are all destined to perish because they are based on human teachings. Verse 23. "These are matters which do have the appearance of wisdom in self-made religion and humility and severe treatment of the body, but are of no value against fleshly indulgence." Paul here is saying that these regulations cannot restrain the lust of the flesh. So people may appear dedicated and disciplined on the outside for a period of time, but on the inside, temptation to sin continues to grow, and eventually sin rages, and they can't hold it in, and sin happens. So rules cannot stop people from sinning. That's the reason why we see that there's so many people breaking the law every day. We all want to regulate our external and appear disciplined and good in some way. There's a clear danger that we focus on the behavior and appearance and lose focus of the inward spiritual life with Christ, because outwardly we are doing fine. People need inner motivations to change, and only Christ can give that motivation. Christianity gives believers new desire to please God and keep His commands, because Jesus creates our inner spiritual life that turns our desire to keep the moral law simply because of God loves us first, and we are responding to His love and all that He has done for us. The Spirit of God has the power to cleanse, purify, and give us fullness and freshness of life. We need to turn to Jesus and return to Jesus if we go astray. And yes, we need to return to Jesus every day and be in touch with our loving God and in fellowship with Him. He will restore and comfort us when we fail. and falter. Can I invite the worship team to come up to start playing some music? So, in summary, Christianity is not about following routines or rituals. It's about having a living relationship with Jesus, in whom we have good standing with God. Christ has set us free. Don't let ourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery or bondage, such as legalism. We must not confuse legitimate Christian discipline motivated by love for Christ with man-made rules. We don't have to obey man-made legalistic rules unless we want to. We also need to take care to tell our spiritual children or those who are younger in faith about the truth of Christianity. Help them to understand what is man-made and culture and what is biblical Christianity. Know that these rules and regulations we talk about may appear to have some value outwardly if one conforms, but in reality, they are powerless to produce transformations in our life. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the only way you can win your fight against sin. It is through dependence on the power of Christ that we may be victorious. Let us sing praises to Him and draw strength from Him.
Of worship and the sort of the
Yes, Lord God. Worship is all about you. It's not about us looking good or behave in certain patterns or ways. It's all about you, Lord God. Help us to focus on you. In worship, in whatever we do, it's an offering to you. Help us to make an offering that's pleasing to you, a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to you every day. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us turn to our corporate prayer and pray for those who are suffering from cancers and chemo and radiation therapy. We also like to pray for those We'd like to also pray for those who are not only ill, but need Jesus, relation with Jesus. So pray for not only healing, but salvation. We'd like to also pray for those who are suffering other infirmity. Let's lift up those who are looking for jobs, for pray for God's provisions in the meantime, and for those who are going through interviews already. Yeah, pray for favor, God's favor upon them. today, let's focus our missions prayer on Singapore, a church plant SPSG led by Pisam Kim. Also want to lift up our Indonesian fellowship Spain led by P. Salamat, as well as P. Ernie for our Filipino ministry in Hong Kong. Pray that God continue to give anointing, wisdom and power to each of these leaders, and pray all those for the congregations, the fellows who grow in maturity in Christ. Like to pray for our education ministry, for the kids led by Lisa, for the youth group by Donald, as well as for the college group by P. Andrew. We have a prayer and ministry and healing ministry, the intercessor prayer team led by Matt. We are praying for the team to continue to grow in numbers, as well as just covering protection. And for the well led by Sarah, pray that God's love continues to overflow this ministry. So whenever people receive prayer, they receive God's love. And yes, also pray for the miraculous power of God's healing upon people. Let's also pray for the River Inner Healing Ministry led by Rachel. This evening, there's SP Light Outreach, Red Light District Ministry partner with Sons and Daughter. So pray for God's light to shine over the Red Light District, that the ladies will be touched and be drawn to Jesus. And also this Sunday, they will be conducting bake sales here as well. So pray that as well as a testimony sharing, pray that the testimony sharing will be one that touch people's hearts and be drawn to serve in this ministry, and that it will be well supported. We have a number of pregnant moms at church that some are really ready to give birth this month or very soon. So pray for covering for the health of the mom and the baby, so as just protection, and pray for good, healthy delivery, babies, and the swift delivery. How's your seasons actually ended or completed last week? But we can still pray for them. Pray that even without house church meeting, that people remain close to God, abiding in God. I know that house church would be a good way to do that corporately, but let's pray that people do not miss this opportunity every week, every day, to remain abide in God. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much that we can come to here corporately to worship you, to be reminded of your ways, the truth, and how everything is all about you. The way we worship is all about you. Whatever we do is an offering to you, Lord God. Help us not to lose sight of this and not just keep up appearance externally, looking well, doing good, but internally our hearts are straying from you. Lord God, yes, we ask for the grace to abide in you. It's only because of your grace and your power that we could be in good standing with you and we could lead a Christian life that's honoring you and that's pleasing to you. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please continue to enjoy your personal prayer time, and see you tomorrow.